Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Really good weekend in Boston. As Seth pointed out earlier, Boston was uncharacteristically hospitable to outsiders from the South on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, capped off by a 10-2 win yesterday. The one thing, we'll get into some of the individual performances, because Yordan Alvarez and Alex Bregman just, I mean, completely ruined the Red Sox over the weekend. Ooh. I think the big thing for me, Seth, like going into this week, I'm like, okay, this is a team that the Astros, who are, by the way, still in a virtual tie for first place in the American League West. So they're, in a way, they're just as much a wild card team as the Seattle Mariners are right now. If you look at the standings, they just don't show up there because they're leading the division literally by a percentage point. That's it. So I'm, you know, like the worst case scenario is you still got to treat them like a wild card team. And coming into the weekend, the Red Sox were a game and a half out of the last wild card spot. The Astros were four games out. Well, they've flipped that now. They swept them, so they're a half game up on the Red Sox now. So that was good news. And as I just got thinking about the Astros over the last few weeks, really maybe even going back to the Baltimore series in June, in late June, which is that's where the season really flipped for them, and they started to kind of – that led them into the month of July, which was easily their best month of the year so far. The thing that gives me confidence with this Astros team, an Astros team that's been wildly inconsistent this year, is that they've actually still played pretty well of late, you know, over the last month and a half or so against good teams.
Right.
Like, which is, not that they've been in previous years, but this year they've been losing to mediocre and bad teams much more than in years past. But they, you know, they still, when Baltimore was in town, and it's a huge series for the Astros, and they're teetering on the brink of being knocked out of the race, what do? They sweep them. You know, the Dodgers come to town. They take two out of three, including a huge comeback win on Saturday that weekend. Man, they need to win some games against the Mariners. They take two out of three. They need to win these games against Boston because it's starting to be nut-cutting time here. It's going to be September before we know it. They go up there, and they don't just sweep them. They annihilate the Red Sox, you know, over the weekend. So that's the thing for me with the Astros. Like, that's what was great to see. Like, okay, there's September and October, Bregman. You know what I mean? Like, there's, I mean, Yordan's, he's great in every month, but he's especially great in Fenway Park.
He's especially great when he plays left field every day, as it's been of late. And that's one of the huge questions. This will be one of the fascinating developments over the remainder of the season. Is there's going to be times where, man, Yordan's out there in left field every day, because no matter how bad he is as a left fielder, and I know, yeah, he's better than people expected, but he's still not a good left fielder. The way he's been hitting the ball, especially this last five games, it's just, that's the trade-off you want. But there's going to be times where Espada is going to have to swap out Chaz McCormick for Yordan Alvarez because you need somebody in left field late in the game. Yeah. It's going to be dicey. So I feel much, much better over the last five games, and yet they're still in a very precarious situation. They haven't lost since DiCenzo came up.
He's the key.
Yeah, that's the key. But I think the biggest thing is Bregman, Altuve, and Yordan are 25 for 60 in that stretch. Bregman's got five extra base hits. Jordan's got five home runs. Like they're getting everything you want out of those guys right now, which is that's like the easiest thing in baseball. If you want to be a great team, your great players got to play great, at least most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, you need your role players to step up here and there, but if Bregman can keep this up, This is good. It's got that good feeling all
over
again.
Yeah, it's huge because Jordan's going to hit. I mean, Jordan has an argument to be as the best hitter on the planet. Like, he's at his best. He's that good. Like, dude, the numbers for these two this weekend, like in the three games, Jordan's OPS in those three games was almost 2,300. Bregman's was almost 2,000. And Jordan in Fenway Park, if he played for the Red Sox, holy smokes, you know, the numbers he would put up with the pesky pole down the right field line and with the green monster staring him right in the face when he decides to go oppo. Like, holy cow.
Rafael Devers, after one of the games, I guess, had said that, you know, his interpreter, after Devers gave his quote, Callis told this story yesterday, was he said, the interpreter said that Jordan's one of the best players in baseball. And I guess it sounds like Devers was like, knows his English well enough to be like, no, I said the best hitter in baseball. Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm not giving obvious takes over here. I'm giving hot takes, interpreter.
Now Devers has to go and check and see if his interpreter is into gambling. How much can I trust you right. SOB?
Right.
Why are all these baseball interpreters going rogue all the time? My God.
Yeah, that guy ruined it. Otani's guy ruined it for all the interpreters.
Devers on Saturday was, when Devers struck out on Saturday, he's fun to watch, man. He stood at the plate and angrily started taking his gloves off. He's just disgusted with himself.
That's good. Arrighetti is a big story this weekend. Ocho Texan, good morning, guys. Did I miss the Spencer Arrighetti is the new Garrett Cole segment? No, you're here for it now, Ocho.
Right.
Spencer Arrighetti's been amazing the last since the All-Star break. I won't say amazing since the All-Star break. These last two starts have been incredible. The first rookie in American League history with 12-plus strikeouts in back-to-back starts.
He's one of these guys, I think, where you and I have differed a little bit on a couple things. I think I've been more skeptical of the Astros' pitching analytics and coaching staff to be as good as they once were at just absolutely capturing the most out of these guys. And yet, you know, Arrighetti has been a great look at what they've been able to do. Hunter Brown, even though the big change came with Alex Bregman's advice. Yeah. You got to credit the entire organization, I think, for bringing Hunter Brown the way they have. But whereas you've been more, I realize what it was. I think I've been more bullish on Arrighetti than you in general.
Mm-hmm.
And you've also been a known JP France hater. You're an anti-European, which I can appreciate. So JP France by his name being France,
his name,
and Arrighetti by having
France.
An obviously. Frankly, I'm surprised.
I'm a xenophobe. Is that what you're saying?
I'm surprised that you're into Caratini as much as you are. He's from Puerto Rico, but he's got an Italian grandfather.
Like
or
all
something.
These guys. What are you talking about?
You hate the Euros. Which
I don't,
is cool. That's
get
fine.
Out of
That's
here.
Fine.
No, I hate the ones that were playing our American basketball team over the weekend, but I don't hate the ones that are on the Astros. I like them, you know?
I think the Italian women's volleyball beat the U.S. also.
Really?
Making
Bastards.
A surge.
Yeah.
Blanco. Now, Blanco's another story. Blanco's gone four games without going six innings. He, in his last start, he surpassed his career high for innings pitched in a year. That's the one where, man, it feels, it's tenuous. He's teetering. We gotta pull him back to the light and not fall off into the darkness.
We haven't done a circle of trust in a while. We're not going to do one right now. Maybe we'll do one in the sometime this week. But if we were doing the circle of trust right now, Seth, Arrighetti, Rennell Blanco, are they
no,
in?
If
the,
I had to make the decision.
If you had to make the decision
two.
On either of them, and if they're both out, who's closer to being in right now, Arrighetti or Rennell Blanco?
This feels like a weird kind of King Solomon trial somehow. I got to go with Arrighetti.
Yeah, Arrighetti right now. Yeah, I think so too. Blanco, you know, Blanco's starting to leak oil a little bit. You know, like it's the wheels are, they're not off, but they're a little wobbly right now.
It's not that I don't trust him as. It's weird. I still think of him as like a 24-year-old because he's
30,
relatively new to starting.
Yeah.
But I, it's a usage thing. If they can manage him fighting through however he's feeling right now, by, you know, they've been spacing his work out a bit, and they can do that more now. I still think there's a good chance he pulls through and fights through whatever he's going through.
It'd be interesting, man. Spencer Arrighetti making it interesting. We haven't mentioned. Man, this was probably the best weekend the Astros have had in a while. They sweep the Red Sox in super convincing fashion. And then Justin Verlander had a nice solid start at Sugarland on Saturday through 52 pitches. You know, 52 pitches in three innings is, you know, it's a little high, but only one run, couple of hits, three strikeouts, topped out at nearly 96 miles an hour. Like, that
That's
was
what if, we were looking for.
I would have
we
signed up for that.
For velo, right?
Velo, baby.
We were like, all
yeah.
right,
yep.
does he have his velo?
And he did.
If he has it, or is he going to have to go the Zach Greinke route and become a junk ball dude late in his career?
How about,
he's still got his speed.
How about, was it, what was the Red Sox players? It's Scott, Dominic, what's the first baseman, I think, who was pitching in the, I don't know if you stuck around for watching the ninth inning where the Red Sox.
I didn't, I quit.
Yeah.
I had yard work to do. I told Brandy around the seventh. Whenever they're huge, the Red Sox bullpen, once they got to the bullpen.
Yeah.
Once a starter goes out with a strained calf,
yeah.
and the Red Sox bullpen has been the worst bullpen in the league over the last month,
it's,
so the Astros just feasted.
It's so bad. No, dude, they put Dominic Smith. They put a position player in the ninth inning.
Yeah,
he was throwing stuff that made Greinke look like Nolan Ryan. Like he threw, and the funny thing is, Seth, you know they have the velo on the graphics right
yeah.
there of every pitch. Like his first pitch, 47 miles per hour.
That's hard to hit if you're not used to it.
He got out of the inning. He got a double.
Yeah.
Like he didn't give up any runs. He got a little trafficy, but then he got a double play to get out of the inning.
I'm always amazed by how finely tuned Major League Baseball hitters are, that just seeing a bad pitcher sometimes screws them up. It's like our supply chain during COVID. You're like, oh, everything, we've got this immaculate supply chain. Everything is just-in-time manufacturing. You throw a little virus and some masks into the equation. Everybody's like, no toilet paper for
anybody.
Nobody's getting
anything. Yeah.
You go from being the most advanced economy yep. that ever was
right.
to like, no, you can't. You got to wipe your butt with your bare hands. Sorry. Sorry about it.
Wiping your butt with leaves. Yeah. yeah, dude, he was throwing some junk up. He was throwing like 48 mile an hour. Just I don't even know what to call them. They're like just lob pitches out there. And then out of nowhere, he humps it up to 79 miles an hour. And the crowd goes, whoa.
I don't know what was going on with the Yankees yesterday, except that they had a huge lead. They relinquished it. And I'm guessing this is where you got to be thankful for Minute Maid Park.
Yeah.
The Yankees have had a couple doubleheaders in the last few days. They got to some inning. They had a reliever pitch like 50 pitches as he was getting shelled. And I think they probably just, they're bereft of relievers.
Yes.
They just had to leave them out there and sweat it out.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You got to take one. Take one for the team.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So good weekend for the Astros. As far as the Texans go, we'll get into headlines. We'll get into stock up, stock down for the Texans at the top of the hour. I would say, Seth, the two biggest, I'll say bubble guys now, right? Like neither of these guys are, they're far from guaranteed to make the team. I think one's on a bigger bubble than the other. But it wasn't a great night for Damian Pierce or John Mechie on Friday.
Yeah. Damian Pierce, it's, you know, we're stuck back in that old conundrum of, look, the blocking is not ideal out there. Chris Reed, the right guard that was filling in for Tank. Shaq Mason, sorry. I have my fun first names. I mix those up. Hold on. I retract my ding. There.
Damian Pierce.
The tough thing with zone blocking is that sometimes it doesn't look like there's a clear place to go. Go back and watch some of Arian Foster's great runs, and the blocking is good, but he's squeezing through a narrow window. And I think that Damian just doesn't feel this offense the same way a lot of good running backs do in this system. And yet also there were issues with the blocking. So you got a two-headed monster there. I think to get the most out of Damian Pierce, it's going to have to be with Damian Pierce packages. It's going to have to be when you can just run old school man blocking schemes and what have you. But I don't know what your other options are outside of Joe Mixon. Cam Akers has done some really good things. I'm trying to figure out what Cam Akers' Achilles tendons are like. So for those of you who don't know, Cam Akers, the running back that the Texans signed right before camp, he's torn both Achilles tendons. It's a notoriously difficult injury for a running back to come back from one Achilles tendon. And yet he seems both prone to Achilles tendon tears, yet incredibly able to come back from them quickly.
Yeah.
So I decided his Achilles tendons are made out of salamander tails. I think that just as a salamander, you can cut off its tail and it'll grow right back. That's what his Achilles tendons are. They're very easy to sever, but they grow back quickly.
Salamander tails are to Achilles surgeries what cadaver elbows are to Tommy John surgery. That's what you're telling me right now?
Yeah, he can grow it his own. He's part Wolverine, part Samuel L. Jackson in Unbreakable.
There you go.
Yeah, like it's almost like if Samuel L. Jackson would get injured all the time, but also then heal very quickly.
He, Cam Akers at the practice last night was getting some reps with the C.J. Stroud unit out there. So he's, that's what I've been looking for this camp. I'm like, all right, Cam Akers has shown some things. Jawar Jordan has shown some things. All right, let's see him run with the first group and see what it looks like.
Yeah, you know? I think, you know, too, the other, that same thing's kind of happening with the receivers, where a lot of these guys like Johnny Johnson or Steven Sims or other guys are showing some flashes. And John Mechie is, he's not taking that next step.
No.
You know, and I think they're giving him the benefit of the doubt. And obviously he has huge India. This is where you got to be like, very sterile in your emotions. It's like, all right, well, yeah, we're all pulling for him, and yet for what he can provide for the team this year, we really haven't seen it outside of some glimpses in the individual periods in 7-on-7.
He was out there. Mechie was out there with Tim Boyle last night practice. So you can. That's how you can start to maybe decipher where guys are in the pecking order. Is like, what quarterback are they out there with? You know, because they're doing a lot of mixing and matching.
When John Harris said during the broadcast that Tim Boyle described himself as a gunslinger, I feel like that's a classic. Like, you know, if you've heard it, sometimes you've got a core part of your identity that might be the worst part of your identity, and you don't want to relinquish it.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe if you're at this stage of your career, maybe you let go of that a little bit. Game manager isn't a dirty word when you're making $2 million a year.
Yeah.
Okay? So just, I don't know. I don't know about
gunslinger?
That.
Sean Pendergast described himself as shredded. Like, what?
Huh? I'm one of those guys that can just eat whatever I want, you know? snorting off
and
your way down the hallway.
Right. Why are you breathing so heavy doing radio?
Yeah.
All right, headlines. We'll dig back into that Steelers game. What the Texans accomplish on the road for a week. News surrounding the Astros and the biggest trade that hasn't happened yet in the NFL. We have more news with that from over the weekend. We'll get into all that in headlines, and we'll do that coming up next.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.